back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I am Mark DeFalco.
And we can only imagine Dan Fernandez is at home playing Halo or yes. something.
Recovering from a build hangover.
Yeah, definitely. So how's Halo going for you?
Good. I actually made less progress in the campaign than I thought. Been pretty addicted to multiplayer.
Yeah.
So
what level are you at?
24.
Okay.
I start 24. Yeah.
And you're rocking your new Surface here.
Oh yeah. That. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
All sorts of new toys. Yeah. Definitely. Well, let's jump right into it, shall we? So the Windows Phone 8 SDK.
Speaking of new toys. Yeah.
New toys. Yeah. It's available for download. Now this is new as of last week at build. But
yes.
Since we didn't have This Week on Channel 9 last week, we wanted to kind of recap some of the biggest announcements that you may not have had time to go out and check out. So Windows Phone SDK. First of all, people should know the system requirements right?
Yeah. So it requires Windows 8. To run,
mm-hmm.
And then the emulator is actually a full virtual machine that runs basically in the Hyper-V. So running the emulator does require that you have SLAT,
okay,
second level address translation. Basically, anything you would need to run virtual machines or Hyper-V, you're gonna be required to run the emulator.
But if you don't have SLAT capable processors, you can
still install SDK,
write code,
write
the device,
still deploy over,
debug, all
right,
that good
yeah.
stuff. All right, so with that out of the way, mm-hmm. what are we going to love about the SDK? What's new? What are some of the new features?
Well, I mean, basically, it's the features for Windows Phone 8
sure.
itself. So we
Should
can actually...
We go right into the next story.
Yeah,
which is
I mean,
what's new Windows Phone
great
8.
Segue. There are a ton of features, and actually, they were kept pretty well kept secret for a while. They wanted to make it a big splash basically it's a Monday right before build, right mm-hmm. after the Windows release. We have quite a bit of announcements this past 2 weeks.
Yep.
But everything from native development in C++ and DirectX, mm-hmm. so you want to get your hardcore gaming on. All these devices are now dual core, so you can really get some decent processing power out of them. Speech, both offline text-to-speech, so previously you had to use like the Bing online text-to-speech service.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do that offline.
It's I didn't realize that.
Offered
That's
in a
awesome.
bunch of languages. There's also the speech SDK speech APIs that let you receive speech and act on it.
Mm-hmm.
Camera lenses, new map stuff, live apps and tiles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go through some of the list here. The wallet stuff, NFC.
Mm-hmm. Kids Corner. If you haven't seen this, this is the ability for you to give your phone to your kid. Which I don't think you have kids.
No, I do
neither
not.
Of us have kids yet, but I've seen a lot of people have their phones accidentally wiped or like calendar appointments that have been deleted.
Or replying to emails to your boss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some of them are pretty sharp. We made some good strategic decisions based on 12-year-olds' opinions. But generally speaking, we don't want that to happen. So Kids Corner lets you set up an area of apps that you've decided your kids should be able to play with, and they can go in there and do that without getting into your actual corporate data.
Right, yeah. So at your lock screen, they just swipe over to the side. You have a list of apps that you want in there,
yep.
games, whatever you want, and
election
then,
results.
Yeah,
you know.
whatever you want them yep. to be with. You got that, and then they don't have to know your code to get in or any of that stuff anymore.
Got it. Cool. And so, anything else we missed there?
There's a bunch more features, but that blog post actually is fantastic. Goes through everything.
Okay, and along with that, there is a new revamped Windows Phone 8 Dev Center. So a lot of really good resources up there. In fact, there's an article here you can check out, which is touring the Windows Phone 8 Dev Center. So just to make sure that you're aware of all the resources that you need when you so you know about them when you need them. And then here's of course we always have to have this X number of days of. So this is the first one that I've seen. This is the 8 days of Windows Phone 8, and this goes through and details a lot of the interesting new improvements: the emulator, the live tiles, the fact that you can use .NET 4.5 on the device. And speaking of the speech API, this is a really nice article by Rob Chambers. He just creates a really simple application where you can receive speech commands into your application that your application can then turn around and go act on. So that's really powerful. I actually don't know if you can do that on other mobile platforms. Like
yeah,
I'm
not able to speak to those.
But can't speak to them.
I've never owned an iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's pretty compelling that in the Windows Phone platform, like you said, even if you're offline,
yes.
you can still parse the commands and take advantage of those in your app. So that's really exciting. I mean, even if you've got a Windows Phone 7 project out there, that's just an easy add that you can go out and rev your project and make it that much more accessible and easier for people to use when they're maybe in the car or wherever, right?
We're going to start this new trend of talking into phones.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah, that's weird. I see what you did there. I like that. Speaking of .NET on the phone, this is a really good article by Brandon Bray and his team. It takes you through kind of how you can think about the relevance of .NET 4.5 on the phone. And they're doing some really interesting things here with Phone 8. So for example, when you as a developer publish your application to the Windows Phone App Store, what they do is they actually, on the back end, as a cloud service, if you will, is they compile that into the ARM machine code, I guess is the right way to describe this, so that your phone is no longer having to do that compilation. What I didn't realize, actually, is with Windows Phone 7, every time you run an app, it's compiling it. So that's taking up CPU time, it's taking up your time, it's taking up battery time. And so now they're going to have a highly optimized version of that running on your phone, deployed to your phone. And they said, on average, apps start up in half the time that they did on Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, I mean, they did a lot of things that they wanted developers to get for free, basically. Mm-hmm. So even if you have your 7 app, you are going to upgrade it up to 8. You're going to get all these perf improvements and just right out of it without doing any extra work.
That's right. So. And multi-core async is now part of Windows Phone 8. So nice job to that team. It's really nice to see the .NET and CLR teams working so closely with the phone team to realize some interesting stuff there. Speaking of .NET and Brandon Bray, we're going back and looking at some of the sessions from Build that you may have missed. This one is called The Evolution of .NET, and in this talk, Brandon Bray talks about kind of what's happened to .NET over the last few years and evolved and where it's at today. So if you're a .NET developer, it's really awesome that you can now write code for such a wide variety of platforms and experiences, whether those are Windows Store applications or Xbox applications or you name it. And so Brandon's really passionate about this space. His team looks after program management for .NET, and he takes you through a lot of what you may have missed if you haven't really been following that space for a little while.
Right, and it's been 10 years. I didn't realize it.
Wow.
.NET has been around back, remember, Visual Studio .NET?
Yeah,
I think of course. It was called.
.NET 2002.
Yeah, and to say it's been a very, very long way. Mm-hmm. Phone, Xbox, like you said, it's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So congratulations to that team. Check out those Build sessions. And how many Build sessions do we have up there now?
All of them, which would be 165-ish.
Wow.
Don't count me, but it's somewhere around there. Yeah. It's roughly that many hours of content.
I'm still surprised. I was talking to Greg Duncan about the fact that a lot of people still aren't aware that almost all of our Tier 1 conferences, all of that content gets made available online for free, and usually within like 24 hours.
We were really good this time around. We don't want to put out an SLA and guarantee everyone exactly 24 or 48 hours everything, but this time pretty much by time on the West Coast at least, if you woke up the next day, the previous day's content was there.
Right.
The bulk majority.
Which is more than we can say for the Florida Elections Department. So let's say, I'm saying that as a former Floridian.
Floridian. Yeah, you're exactly. Allowed to say that.
Moving right along, the Windows 8 Design Handbook. So this is, as near as we can tell, this is not an official design handbook from Microsoft. But what we really liked about this is the format that they use to present a lot of the Windows 8 design kind of rules and paradigms and suggestions and best practices that you should know about. And it's kind of like a learn by picture, learn by example, really easy for even guys like you and me to go through and follow and understand what they're trying to get across in terms of what you can and can't do within your apps, what you should and shouldn't do in your app from a design perspective. So I know we've covered a ton of design resources in the past, but this is another spin on them that I immediately found useful for some of the things I'm dealing with and some of the apps that I'm building.
Hey, you had mentioned a couple weeks ago about design. Reading about design and having it be designed well, this is one of those websites that actually takes that into practice. The site's really easy to go through, mm-hmm. easy to navigate, and gives you maybe a little extra motivation thinking, oh, these are actually going to be good guidelines.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of well-designed sites, I've got another one that we'll show here in a minute. But first of all, debugging an app in Windows 8 ARM with Visual Studio 2012.
Which sounds really complicated.
It's actually pretty easy. This is just a quick how-to of how to get started. But basically, as we know, you can't run Visual Studio on the Surface RT that you have in your hands, for example. But what you can do is you can run Visual Studio on an x86 device. Mm-hmm. I can deploy my Windows Store app that I'm building over to this device, so I get the really nice touch experience like my users are going to get. But if I want to debug that, it's just really a matter of installing the remote debugger. And then you need to have some kind of network connection. You can use a crossover cable. I guess on the Surface, you're going to need to have a USB adapter in order to make that work. But as long as you've got that network connection, then you basically go into Visual Studio and you say, here's the machine I want to deploy to and remote debug in the process, and you can set your breakpoints, and away you go. Super easy experience.
Yeah, and if you don't have an ARM device to test on, get a Surface.
Yes.
And I definitely do that testing, because there's going to be different performance, different bottlenecks on ARM versus x86. Mm-hmm. And just to have that kind of quick go through. I know I've done some testing on mine, and it most apps kind of run fine, but mm-hmm. you don't want to just kind of blindly ship onto a platform you haven't tested at all. So.
Right, exactly. So Mark, you know a little bit about this. These are the top 10 08.11 things that you should know about the ASP.NET Fall 2012 update.
Oh, those ASP.NET guys.
Oh, yes.
So the ASP.NET Fall 2012 update. It's not a framework update. It is basically project templates and tooling and things that are updated around it. So
no runtime, no server changes. It's
correct.
Just helping you be a better developer.
Right. And it's actually pretty small. It's about a 40 meg download, no reboot required. There are a bunch of things you can get that are off of NuGet now. There are additional support for ASP.NET web APIs, additional support for things like SignalR, cool kind of technologies like that. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get all the information, go ahead and go to the blog. But Scott Hanselman and John Galloway did a fantastic talk. It was mm-hmm. actually the closer, the other side of the keynote, the very last session that was live streamed. It was bleeding edge ASP.NET.
Okay.
So if you want another build session to go check out, that's one for this stuff.
Yeah, I haven't checked out that one, but I was backstage during the day 2 keynote when they were showing off a lot of this stuff, and it's super cool. Like, I am not really a web stack guy. Like, last time I was doing professional web development was like 2001, but I have to say every time I like kind of drop in to check on what's going on, that team is just coming out with so many really cool things.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
Definitely. So productivity power tools. A lot of people are probably familiar with the productivity power tools from Visual Studio 2010. It's kind of this rapid release cycle for Microsoft to get out and try new things that we think might be cool for you to try out in Visual Studio, some of which from the 2010 productivity power tools became actually part of the product in 2012, some of which are a little bit more experimental in nature. It's a way for us to try new things and get your feedback. So if you like that approach, definitely go check out the productivity power tools. I believe it was the number one downloaded extension for Visual Studio 2010, so I wouldn't be surprised if this one skyrockets pretty quickly as well. Nothing to say about that?
No, I used them all for 2010. I haven't used them for 2012 yet, but I'll probably download them and use them again.
There you go. And so IntelliCommand is another, speaking of extensions, another extension which helps you learn the literally billions of keyboard shortcuts that exist within Visual Studio 2010 or 2012. And so I think what you hold down like the control key or the shift key or something, and it pops that right up on your screen. So that's really nice. I wish I had that for Windows 8. Mm. There's a lot of keyboard shortcuts that that apply to this new Metro style, or what we used to call Metro style interface, that I just haven't committed to memory yet. But definitely, if you're a Visual Studio junkie, definitely go get that IntelliCommand.
One of my favorite extensions previously was for people who do presenting quite a bit. It was when the presenter did some shortcut on the screen, it would actually pop up a little dialogue on the side to show you what they pressed. Because so often, if you're just going along and doing things, you forget you're hitting, you know, Alt D, Control K, or K, those things.
Yeah, definitely.
This is the opposite, which is exactly what I always wanted, because there's all these commands I don't know.
Right. It'd be great if that was like Clippy. Like, it looks like you just pressed Control X, Q, comma J. Oh, poor Clippy. Private extension galleries in Visual Studio 2012. This is really cool if you're, especially within, if you're in like an ISV or an enterprise, and there's a specific extension that you've maybe developed or you want everybody within your team to use. This basically shows how you can set up your own private repository for Visual Studio extensions. So if you fall into that category, this is a good article that takes you through step by step how to do just that. And reactive extensions is now open source.
Yes.
What do we think about that?
I think it's really cool. Reactive extensions is one of those, I don't want to call it brainy, but it's one of those, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And you, one of those things that make you think, you know, well, how does this even work?
Yeah.
And open sourcing it, exactly that. I mean, go in and dive into the code and see how you can implement it, how this was implemented and mm-hmm. how you could, you know, go across doing this yourself.
There you go. There you go. And as Scott Hanselman says, there's a lot included, so be stoked. It's not just RX.net, but it's also the C++ library as well for RX.js for JavaScript. So,
the link style operators, all that, right. All that stuff.
Exactly. So nice job to Eric Meyer and team. And Bart DeSmit, friend of the show.
Yes.
So, time for picks of the week. And my pick of the week is 31 days of Windows 8. And so this comes from two friends of mine, Clark Sell and Jeff Blankenberg. These guys did a really nice job. Now, I know we've covered a lot of these topics before, you know, X number of days of food technology, but I really like what these guys did for two reasons. Number one, as you can see on the screen, they actually built a web page that looks just like Windows 8 as the way that you navigate their blog content around Windows 8. So really cool. The one feedback I gave to Clark is that if you don't have a touchscreen monitor and you're trying to figure out how to navigate this with just a mouse and keyboard, it's a little bit challenging to figure out. For some reason, he had to drop the scroll bar. I know he's working on fixing it. But use your mouse scroll wheel, and you'll notice that you can actually scroll to the right and left. But you can also click in the app bar down at the bottom. There's a link to days, and you can just get the list view of all the different blog days that he's covered. But the second reason that I really like this content is that he assumes he doesn't take anything for granted when he's explaining what's going on. So like traditionally, when you go through a lot of walkthroughs and tutorials, they'll say right-click on this and select this context menu, and it will, you know, add an app bar, right? But really, there's a lot of other stuff going on. There's a resource file that's getting added. There's a, you know, you have to uncomment these styles and the style sheets. There's all these other things that are happening. And he what do they say about Bart Simpson in one of those episodes? Like he writes like people talk, you know? like, I really like the way that that these guys address it and take you through in a very natural, like, hey, we're going to hold your hand as we go, but we're, you know, going to treat you like adults as we go.
Right.
So anyway, enough about that. Go check it out. 31 days of Windows 8. I think we're on like day 9 by now. So a lot more stuff to come. And your pick of the week, sir?
My pick of the week. Speaking of going back to doing professional web development, a lot of times you'll be doing something that you're going to acquire some JSON format data at some point, and maybe you're writing an end-to-end solution that has an editor and an admin backend, and then you're doing a front end, but you need some sample data, and you've gotten really tired of writing JSON by hand,
yep.
Or things breaking because you wrote JSON by hand. This has saved me a couple of times. It's just a really nice UI to go in, allows you to go in through a little like object-oriented view on the right side, actually build out your tree, object model, array, however you're doing it, and get that, and then the left side you'll have your pretty formatted JSON, and then mm-hmm. there's a little button that it removes all the white space and minifies it. So what I will do is if I'm modifying some code that is expecting some JSON and I want to make sure I know what's happening, instead of modifying a file somewhere, uploading it all the time, or embedding into code, I'll set a breakpoint, go into the interactive debugger, and just paste in that minified code in there, and then see how everything runs, and just keep moving that next instruction pointer back to that point over and over again until I get that right.
Nice, so that's great. Any idea who runs or maintains this?
Yeah, there's a name on the bottom, and okay. I'm probably gonna butcher it if I read it. So
we're dying to hear how you'll say it.
Of course, Joss De Jong.
Joss, yes, Joss? that sounds like we'll go with that.
And so it's actually open source as well, so you can look at that.
Oh, nice. Very good. Well, Mark, thanks for being on the show. We'll let you get back to your heated Halo multiplayer, and we'll see you guys next week.
Fun as always. Thanks.